The Maker's House Chapel International presents Destiny Word with Dr. Michael Brady Damichek. As a child of God, you are mandated to take territories and fulfill your destiny. Destiny Word is designed to help illuminate your path towards a purpose-driven life. Please stay tuned for the unadulterated Word of God, a word that not only brings focus to your life, but also helps you navigate the challenges that comes your way.
In the book of St. John's Gospel, chapter number 5, today we lift our Sith, I guess, landmine from that chapter. St. John's Gospel, chapter number 5, I'm reading from the thundering version of the King James Bible. But I read, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at certain seasons into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first went in after the troubling of the water was made whole of whatsoever disease that he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When he saw Jesus, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sire," old English, "I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." 6 and 7 again. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, Jesus said unto him, "Son, wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. The second thing is, when I try on my own to get in, another steps down before me." We started with the landmines of destiny, and if you will recall, said that destiny happens to be where God intends to send you to. So it is a divine idea, sovereign idea, where God wants to take you to. Sovereign will, sovereign idea, God's own plan. But we said that it is not something that he is remotely controlling you to fulfill. It's regulated by your choice. So although it is a divine plan, it is regulated by human choice. Etymologically, it comes from the same word. Destiny comes. They all have the same root as destination. Destination happens to be an end of a matter. God says that I know your end. I know the thoughts that I think towards you to bring you to an expected end. It means that I have an expectations of your end, but for you to get there, you have a role to play. Where God wants to take you to, you're not going to get there because you are too beautiful or too eloquent. God will take you there because you also made an effort. You can't become a medical doctor just by having a white robe. You have to go to school and pay the price. Go to medical school probably for 7 years, I guess. I didn't go to a medical school, so 7 years. Or you also do more by measuring in a particular field, probably afterwards. Everything that you need in this life and where God wants to take you to, it comes with a price. You have to pay it. You're not going to get to your place or your destined end just because you pray and you go to church. There are many things that you should be able to do as well. Started by saying that sometimes we allow people to talk us out of destiny. Sometimes we look back for too long. Today we want to spend a few minutes that we have to talk on the next landmine. The story is told of a poultry farmer who in his farm accidentally saw an eaglet. Those of you that have heard that story before, saw an eaglet in his farm. This poultry farmer loved the eaglet so much that it fed the eaglet, made the eaglet so comfortable that the eaglet even forgot that it wasn't a chicken. One day a friend of his came to visit him and asked him, "What are you doing to this eaglet?" He said, "I love this eaglet. I don't want this eaglet to go anywhere. I just want to keep him here." A young man who happens to be the friend of this poultry farmer went to the eaglet, took the eaglet one day, lifted the eaglet up and said, "Eaglet, you don't belong to the earth. You belong to the skies. You should begin to fly." The eaglet just got itself, liberated itself, went back to the ground and started eating chicken feed. The following day, the man came back, took the eaglet to the rooftop, or say the balcony of the house, and said, "Eaglet, I told you, this is not where you belong. You are supposed to spread your wings and begin to fly." The eaglet wriggled itself free from the hands of the friend of the poultry farmer, went back to the dirt and started eating chicken feed again. The last day, which is the third day, the young man took the eaglet to the top of the mountain and said, "Eaglet, you are not going back there anymore. You should wriggle yourself free, but this time don't go back to the ground. You should begin to fly." Threw the eaglet, did not even want to allow the eaglet to touch the ground. Threw the eaglet so high that the eaglet knew that if I don't spread my wings, I'm going to hit the ground and I might break my neck. The eaglet had no option but to spread its wings and begin to fly. The lesson you can learn from this is, it is not that God has not placed in them what they do require to fulfill destiny. It is that sometimes we sabotage our own selves. There is a concept called self-sabotage. That is when you pitch yourself against yourself on the way to destiny fulfillment. Most of us, the problem is not coming from any devil. The problem is us. Demons should be given a vacation. Because there are certain things that happen to individuals that demons have no clue. Sometimes we undermine our own destiny and we come too hard against ourselves. The story we read of Jesus in the book of John chapter 5 is quite interesting. A man had been in a particular place for 38 years. Excuses happens to be my next landmine. Excuse is just legalizing where you are instead of where God wants you to be. When you begin to settle for less in the face of what's best in the mind of God for you, that is called an excuse. There are so many of us that are living within those walls. The young man had been around the pool for 38 years. 38. Significant. 38. But he has been around the pool for 38 years. And each time the waters are troubled, he says he can't get in because he has no man. Now Jesus had appeared to him, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Master of the Universe, had appeared and was saying to him, I know that you have a history. You've been here for too long, but it's your choice. Do you want to be made well? Now this young man could have just said to Jesus, I've waited for this opportunity for too long a time. I think it's not that I want. I wished I was made well even yesterday. But when Jesus asked him, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made whole? What this man could tell Jesus is that I have no man. And that has been the problem with a lot of Christians in these times. A lot of governments in Africa. A lot of leaders in Africa. A lot of people who are even ridiculing and bringing disdain to the name of God. Call yourself a Christian. And I was following the 2012 elections. Not in Ghana, obviously. I followed, but I'm talking about using the American example. Mitt Romney. He said, leadership is about taking responsibility and not making excuses. So that when you come and there's a problem in the country, you don't expect anybody else to fix it for you. You fix it yourself. The reason why Africa is not moving forward is because we have a lot of leaders who can only point accusing fingers on their predecessors. Why are we going through power crisis? It's because they say, oh, the NPP didn't do enough. They should have increased power generation. Okay, so they did not increase power generation. What are you doing now? Well, you know I'm not a politician. And in the Maker's House, there are NPPs, NDCs, PPPC. Listen, let's call a spade and not a big spoon. You don't expect your predecessors to solve a current problem. Because when they left, we were enjoying electricity. Well, the city was electrified. So, electricity. But when you came and there is crisis, you don't look at them and ask, why didn't you? It is just like your father taking you through school and a white man comes to your house and your father can't speak English and you tell your father, why didn't your father take you through school and how to interpret for you? Times change. Seasons change. Credible leaders take responsibilities. Leadership is about responsibility. It is not about blaming other people. If Africa wants to get it right, people should stand up to their responsibilities. People should stand up. Nigeria should stand up. Ghana should stand up. Sudan should stand up. I like Uncle Bob. After they've killed people from his country and an ambassador wanted to shake him. What's up, man? Want to greet me? No way. Africa is supposed to be for Africans, they say. But are Africans doing enough for Africa? Africa is not progressing because we gather money and instead of investing it in our economy, we go and buy houses and mansions out there. We are so irresponsible to our own continent. Every top African has a house in England, probably in Dubai, Florida, Vegas, LA. Meanwhile, these LA people will not come and buy a house at Trasaco. But we are pumping our monies to them and building their economy and shrinking ours because we are not responsible enough. If we want to develop our nation, please let leadership understand that when we vote you into office, it is not so that we will make room for you for your cars and sirens to pass. But we vote for you so that you will make things right and better for all of us. Until we rise up as Africans and begin to lay down our lives for our nation, our constituencies, our people, we failed. Let's not make any mistake about it. If you are the only tree that is standing, a strong wind will come and it will get you down. Let us not make any mistake about it. Our collective strength will determine our global impact. Let us not make any mistake about it. It is how many stars that are shining bright that will determine the brightness of a city. It is not one star shining. It's how many stars are being given the opportunity to shine. You can't shine alone. Make sure that you are like the sun that gives light to other elements. Do not be inward looking. Be a blessing to other people. It's unfortunate that this is the part of the world that we find ourselves, whereby everybody is getting all they can and canning all they can get. We are amassing wealth left, right, center, forgetting that a time will come that money you are keeping in your account can't save you. You are busily investing treasury bills. God bless you. Buying houses. Praise Jesus. Oh, marble floor in my bathroom was customized. Praise Jesus. I have granite that is the finest. Thank you. You've done well. But the last time I checked, there was nobody who died that they buried him with his house. It means that all that you are laboring for, you leave it behind. In the final analysis, all that you are gathering is not going to save you, and you're not going to take it into the next life. So why don't you think about leaving a legacy by laying your life down and being a blessing to somebody, so that the memory of you will live longer than your time and your generation? We have a problem. The problem is that our own people are not thinking about us. We have a problem because these days even pastors think that prominence and ministerial success is equated to how many cars that you have and how many people are in your congregation. Not thinking that it is about how many people you led to Christ and how many people can say that your ministry has blessed me and has made me know Jesus even better. We have a problem. This generation has everything at its disposal, but still we are impoverished. Because most of the time, we think that the world is restricted to the comforts of our homes. The world goes beyond your walls. Gathering everything, you are a wise man. Continue to gather. Wise woman, continue to gather. With all the Peruvian, Brazilian that you are hanging on your dressing mirror. Your Peruvian, Brazilian, Indian, human hair, natural. With all your mascara, everything. Your shoes. There are ladies who have all colors of shoes. Blue, green, indigo, red, pink, yellow, ash. But that's good. Interestingly, the shoe that you are crying so hard. Oh, this shoe, no, I have to get it. There are ladies who, when they see bags and shoes, they lose sleep. They can't sleep at night until they've gotten it. They lose sleep. So they are only looking at, oh, how am I going to get the money to buy this? And they look for the money from unexpected places. Buy the bag and the shoe. Later on, they find out it was not exactly what they wanted. They keep it in a closet. Look for the next shoe victim to buy. So at the end of the year, they find out that they've bought many shoes and not even all of them were worn. And when you die and they're about to bury you, they put their socks on you. No shoe, socks. They should have given you at least one. What one? I earned it. Through hard work and labor, I've bought this 6 inches socks. Should have given me at least one of my shoes, socks. Well, enough of the digression. Straight to the point. Let me close. But sometimes it's painful. You travel outside and you get so excited. In 2 days, 3 days' time, you are homesick. You know, when you are in Ghana, you get sick of home. Like I was saying to you yesterday. You get sick of home, and you become homesick. And you want to come back home. But when the plane is about to touch down, and you look around and you see the Antar Road. See the Antar... Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Sometimes it's depressing, but that is not why we read John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Jesus asks this man, I have all the power to make you well. But that is destiny for you. But do you want to be made well? The first thing that the man said is that I have no man. Most of you, the reason why you have been staying where you are is because you keep apportioning blame to other men. Oh, my father didn't send me to school. Who told you that there is a limit? You can still go to school even at 40, 50, 60. Oh, if my father had taken me to school and if my mother had sold her clothes to... Not every mother will sell her clothes. Some mothers are fashionistas. They won't sell their clothes. They want to wear them. But the fact that your father, your mother didn't take you to school is not enough excuse for you to stay where you are. Destiny calls people to greatness, but life will also give you an opportunity or a window to jump out of that greatness. One of the things that the enemy will throw at you was just like what this man said. He said, I have no man. Most of us, the reason why we stay where we are for too long is because we are hoping that somebody from somewhere, will just come into our lives and begin to give us any handout or give us an open door. But anytime you begin to look at life from that perspective, you stay in a place for too long. I have no man. You are with Jesus. You are looking for a man. What happened to the Bible that said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? What happened to the Bible when the scripture says that if the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, if the same spirit dwells in you, then it will quicken your mortal body? What happened to the Bible when there were people who had not even been to school before, just like Peter and the rest, that the Bible says they started talking and they said, these men are unlettered and unlearned. How come they speak with so much grace and charisma? Because you don't need men to get to where God wants to take you to. You just need God to be on your side. And if Jesus is on your side, the Bible says, if God be for us, the first excuse that he had to render was that I have no man. There are no people. I try, and anytime I try, people disappoint me. Sometimes I even wish that they could come and just spend the day. And sometimes I could perceive that I am about to break through. The angel will come tomorrow. So I call my family people, come here tomorrow, because the angel will come and stir the waters. And even when I wait for them, no man comes around. If you wait for people, you stay in a place for too long. A lot of people are so self-centered that what concerns you doesn't really bother them. So if you are waiting on them to lift you up, please, you're going to stay down for too long. The story that I just told you, a poultry farmer wanted to keep the eaglet, not to the advantage or the benefit of the eaglet, but to his own pleasure. I like it. But was that what the eaglet was born for? If you allow people, they will build walls around you and let you live within their own comfort zones. Sometimes your life is bigger than the one you are looking up to. Where God wants to take you to might be bigger and stronger than the one you are calling your mentor. Sometimes, if all the prodigy can see is the heights of the mentor, they devalue themselves and bring themselves so. Because to be mentored by somebody simply means a person should teach you certain things that you don't know. It doesn't make the person your ceiling. Actually, it makes the person your springboard. So where the person ended is where you are supposed to take off from. Your mentor is not your ceiling. Your mentor is your launch pad. Do not allow yourself to be coerced into that realm of absurdity whereby you are thinking, I have no man. The arm of flesh will fail you. If you are waiting for men to come and help you, they will fail you. But if you wait on God and stand with God and believe in God and trust in God, the Bible says those that trust in the Lord, they are like Mount Zion. They shall never be moved. Will abide for it. The second excuse, he said, I'm not swift enough. Oh, I'm not swift. Anytime the angels come, one, I have no man. But secondly, if I try to get in, others get ahead of me. Excuses. I have no man was the first. The second excuse, I'm not swift enough. People always go ahead of me. Now, so many people are giving excuses. So many. Oh, why are you not that? Because I'm too big. I'm too short. I'm too tall. I'm too dark. Well, as the darkest person in the house, I give you the liberty to enjoy a light skin. If you are thinking that you are the darkest and your complexion should limit you, your skin color can be an excuse. Your height cannot be an excuse. Your accent cannot be an excuse. You know that we have a lot of locally acquired foreign accent in Ghana because they have inferiority complex. Somebody has never been to England before. He has never been to the US before. But when they are talking, oh my goodness. In it. Because they feel inferior within themselves. Who told you that your accent? Bishop Oyedepo has one of the strongest accents in the world. He goes to America and he is talking to them. He tells them, by the blood. Sometimes I'm wondering, do they understand blood? But he cares less. Because he carries something that ascent can give. When it comes to divine program, it has nothing to do with what you put on you, but it has everything to do with what is on the inside. He said, I'm not swift enough. I'm not swift. I'm not. Stop looking for the knots. Most of us, all that we are looking for is 1,001 reasons why we cannot make it. Oh, when are you going to sing? You know, I'm shy. Very good singer. When do you want? You know, I'm shy. I have stage fright. Really? When you are singing in your bathroom, do you know that you are surrounded by innumerable company of angels? Do you know how many angels around you when you are singing alone? And if you are not shy in the midst of 1,000 or 1,000,000 of angels, why can't you sing before 1,000 people, 100,000 people? Why can't you? 1,001 reasons why we cannot. Once upon a time, God had showed himself strong in the life of a man whom he had preserved right from birth for destiny, time and moments for redemption of the people of Israel. And whilst he was attending to the sheep at the backside of the desert, the Bible says, and God appeared unto him in the form of a burning bush. God said unto him, I want to make you my mouthpiece. He said, God, for me, what am I going to be able to say? I cannot go there. I don't have the fluidity of thought and the eloquence of speech to be able to stand before Pharaoh. I stammer. He said, I want you to go there and speak to Pharaoh. He said, God, if you send me to go and demonstrate power, that one I can do. But to go and speak, I need another spokesman. God said, no, you are the same man. I want you to go there. He said, God, I would have loved to go there. But all that I know is that I cannot speak. You can allow your misery to build a jail for you. God wanted to bless this young man. All that he was thinking about is his predicament. Who told you the one sitting by you doesn't have a challenge as well? You see, do not be deceived by the makeup. Because you see, we can conceal sorrow with mascara. But the fact that I have my hair extensions on doesn't mean that I have no issues that I'm battling with. Young man said, God, I cannot. God said, stop giving me an excuse and go there and speak to Pharaoh. He said, okay, God, I'll go, but give me somebody who will speak for me, a prophet. God said, I will make you a God to the people and I'll make your brother Aaron a prophet. He went there, but guess what God did? God never allowed Aaron to speak. At each point, God made Moses to speak himself.
He had gotten to a place where in front of them was the Red Sea. Around them were the mountains. And this man came back to complain to God. God, we are about to perish. God said, what have I given to you? I gave you a rod. Why are you complaining? Power is in your hands. He says, stretch forth that rod. And the Bible says that he did exactly as God had commanded. And the waters parted into two. And the people began. What happened? God did not come down to do it. God had already placed in him what he required for destiny. What you require for destiny is already in you. All that God is expecting from you is to step out and do what is right. You are not supposed, angels are not going to come and blow a trumpet to tell you, it's time. Enter your rest. It's time. Angels are not going to blow the trumpet and tell you, oh, this is your season. Tomorrow about this time. Angels are not going to do that. But whenever there is a prophetic word coming from the pulpit and you can connect with it, you don't even have to wait for anybody to lay hands on you. All that you have to do is that, know that it is the rod that God has given to you and you have to walk with it. Part waters with it. Watch this before I close. If you are waiting for a miracle, you have to also make an input. Jesus said to him, get up yourself. Rise up. Roll your mat. And walk. The ability to walk in life is a choice that you have to make to rise in life.
Thank you for listening to Destiny Word by Dr. Michael Bwedinyamiche. We believe you have been impacted to fulfill your purpose. For more transformative and uplifting teachings from Dr. Nyamiche, kindly join us at the Maker's House Chapel International Destiny Arena, adjacent the School of Nuclear and Allied Sciences. Join any of our services, Sunday Word from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., teaching service on Wednesdays from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., and our flagship program, Morning Aura, on Saturdays from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. to engage in prayer and experience the supernatural. You can also be part of our online services, Command Your Morning, every weekday from 4:45 a.m. to 6 a.m., and Power Up Your Week every Sunday from 11:30 p.m. to 12:30 p.m. on our social media platforms. For more information about our ministry, you can reach out to us on 020-004-7488 or 026-681-3275. Additionally, visit our website at www.themakershouse.org. God bless you abundantly as you journey towards your destiny with courage and faith. Destiny Word. Be empowered to take territories and fulfill destinies.